If you would now please turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21, we will consider the entire chapter. Before we hear God's word, let's go to him in prayer. Please pray with me. O Lord, our God, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word. Lord, your commandments are to be desired above gold, even fine gold. We pray, Lord, that you would give us this desire for your word that gives us life. Give us understanding and help us to know and do your commandments. Give us hope and life through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest and to Joshua the son of Nun and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. And they said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in along with their pasture lands for our livestock." So by command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave to the Levites the following cities and pasture lands out of their inheritance. The lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest received by lot from the tribes of Judah, Simeon and Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the Kohathites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan and the half tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. The Gershonites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh and Bashan, 13 cities. The Merarites, according to their clans, received from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. These cities and their pasture lands the people of Israel gave by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Out of the tribe of the people of Judah and the tribe of the people of Simeon, they gave the following cities mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron, one of the clans of the Kohathites who belonged to the people of Levi, since the lot fell to them first. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages had been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. And to the descendants of Aaron, the priest, they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, Libna with its pasture lands, Jatir with its pasture lands, Eshtemoa with its pasture lands, Holon with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, Ayon with its pasture lands, Juta with its pasture lands, Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities out of these 2 tribes, then out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Ammon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. The cities of the descendants of Aaron, the priest, were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. As to the rest of the Kohathites belonging to the Kohathite clans of the Levites, the cities allotted to them were out of the tribe of Ephraim. To them were given Shechem, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer with its pasture lands, Kibzaim with its pasture lands, Beth Horon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Dan, Elteke with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Ayalon with its pasture lands, Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. And out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Taanach with its pasture lands, and Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 2 cities. The cities of the clans of the rest of the Kohathites were 10 in all with their pasture lands. And to the Gershonites, one of the clans, the Levites, were given out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Golan and Bashan with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, and Beshtira with its pasture lands, 2 cities. And out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishion with its pasture lands, Debroth with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, Enganim with its pasture lands, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Elkaph with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh and Galilee with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Hamoth Dor with its pasture lands, and Kartan with its pasture lands, 3 cities. The cities of the several clans of the Gershonites were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. And to the rest of the Levites, the Merarite clans were given out of the tribe of Zebulun. Jokneam with its pasture lands, Karta with its pasture lands, Dimna with its pasture lands, Nahalal with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its pasture lands, Jahaz with its pasture lands, Kedmoth with its pasture lands, and Mephaeth with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, Jazer with its pasture lands, four cities in all. As for the cities of the several Merarite clans, that is, the remainder of the clans of the Levites, those allotted to them were in all 12 cities. The cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel were in all 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had its pasture lands around it. So it was with all these cities. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. This is the word of the Lord. Now this chapter, chapter 21, records the designation of special cities allotted to the tribe of Levi. Now, what the giving of these cities really refers to is the giving of the cities and their pasture lands from the inheritances of the other tribes. Now, remember, the Levites received no land inheritance. They did not receive a land inheritance. This is chapter 14. No portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance. The Levites received no inheritance, but they needed to live somewhere. They needed a place to stay. And so the appointment of these cities with their pasture lands was really a re-giving of what had already been given to the other tribes. It was a re-giving of the cities to the Levites from the other tribes who had already received those cities. Look at verse 9. Out of the tribe of the people of Judah and the tribe of the people of Simeon, they gave the following cities. And then the following cities were mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron. Aaron, one of the clans of the Kohathites who belonged to the people of Levi, since the lot fell to them first. The scripture tells us that they gave them Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. Now, if you look back at, and so these cities, these pasture lands that were allotted to the Levites came from the property, came from the possession of the other tribes in Israel. Now, if you look back at chapter 15, where the allotment for the tribe of Judah is given, there you will see the same city is named, right? And so we are told that Kiriath Arba is given to the Levites. Well, the same city is named. Now, remember, this city belonged to Caleb. This is chapter 15. According to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the people of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. So the same city is mentioned back in 15 as being given to Caleb. Now what this meant here in chapter 21, for this city and the other cities, for this city with the pasture lands to be given to the Levites, was that a portion of the people from the tribe of Levi would live in this city of Judah. This city that belonged to the tribe of Judah. A portion of the Levites would live in this city, and they would use the surrounding pasture lands. These are pasture lands that surrounded the borders of the city, the gates of, or the walls of the city. They would use these pasture lands to raise their livestock and whatever else they needed to survive. They would live off the pasture lands, their livestock and their property, their substance. This is what these pasture lands were for. Now, in this way, the Lord provided for the Levites who did not receive an inheritance. He gave them a place to live. He gave them land to live off of. Now, this chapter shows us that the Lord promises to provide for His people, and He is faithful to His word. This is what we learn from this chapter. Now, in verse 1, the heads of the fathers of houses of the Levites approach Eleazar the priest and Joshua, and they do this to request the promised portion that God promised to the Levites through Moses. Right, we've already seen this before. So they're approaching Eleazar and Joshua to receive their promised inheritance. They said in verse 2, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we, the Levites, be given cities to dwell in along with their pasture lands for our livestock." Now, this, we are told, took place at Shiloh. This approach from the Levites to Joshua and the leaders took place at Shiloh. Now, Shiloh was where the tent of meeting was set up. This is where the tabernacle was set up. Shiloh would serve for a time as Israel's central place for worship. This is where God would dwell by His Spirit for a time in the tabernacle in Shiloh. The Lord appeared to Samuel, for example, at Shiloh. He appeared to Samuel at Shiloh. And it wasn't until David moved the central place of worship to Jerusalem under his kingship that the central place of worship would be found in Shiloh. David would move it to Jerusalem later, but for a time being, it was in Shiloh. Now, what this signifies for us in the mention of Shiloh here, at the very end of the distribution of the land, this is where we are. We are at the very end of the distribution of the promised land to the people of God. And a mention is made of Shiloh. This took place at Shiloh. What this signifies for us is that the worship of Yahweh from the souls of God's people was central. That was central in this newly acquired land flowing with milk and honey. This was an abundant land that they lived in, but the land was not given simply to enjoy the milk and the honey that it produced. Even though they were physical creatures, the Israelites did need the produce that came from the land. The land was given to Israel so that they might enjoy spiritual milk and spiritual honey from the Lord. This is why they were given the land. That was the central purpose, that they might worship Yahweh, who dwelled by His Spirit in Shiloh at the tent of meeting. Now, this mention of Shiloh also brings us to the role of the Levites in the Promised Land, right? The Levites received no inheritance, but they would live in the Promised Land. Now, in order for us to understand what the Levites' role was and how we are to understand them, we need to know who Levi is. Now, Levi was one of the 12 sons of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's one of 12 sons of Jacob. The Levites and their ancestors were set apart by God to minister or serve at the tent of meeting, and later at the temple. It was from their tribe that people would serve, that the men would serve in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting. Now, Levi himself had three sons, and one of these sons' names was Kohath. Kohath's grandsons were Aaron and Moses. And so Aaron and Moses were Levites. They were from the Levitical tribe, and they descended from Kohath. And it was specifically to the sons of Aaron that the Lord gave the official priesthood. And so Aaron is a Levite, and it's to his sons, his descendants, that the official priesthood was given. The sons of Aaron were in charge of the most holy things. The sons of Aaron, the priests, what did they do? They made offerings before the Lord. They pronounced blessings in the name of God. They were in charge of approaching God approaching God's presence in the Holy of Holies. They were in charge of the most holy things. That was who the sons of Aaron were designated for, the priests. And so here in Joshua in verse 4, when it mentions the Kohathites, it is referring to the priests, the Aaronic priests, the priests of Aaron, the sons of Aaron, priests, the same thing. The sons of Aaron who were priests to God when it mentions the Kohathites. Verse 4, the lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest. You see that there? the Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest, received by lot from the tribe of Judah and Simeon and Benjamin 13 cities. And so the descendants of Aaron the priest would live in these designated cities, and their flocks and their property would be kept in the surrounding pasture lands. Now these were the inheritance. This was the inheritance for the Kohathites. Now Kohath had two brothers, Merari and Gershon, and they're mentioned in this chapter. Aaron did not come from their lines. He was a Kohathite, right? Hope you're following me here. You can study the previous scripture. Study 1 Chronicles if you really want to trace this down. It does take some work. Aaron did not come from the line of Merari and Gershon. And so the descendants of Merari and Gershon were non-priestly. And so when the Merarites and the Gershonites are mentioned in this chapter, you have to think non-priestly Levites, right? But again, they were still Levites. They were just non-priestly. The sons of Aaron were the priests. Now, they were still Levites, and therefore they still had responsibilities associated with the tabernacle. The Gershonites and the Merarites, for example, they were charged with things like, and you can see this in the previous books, the Bible before Joshua, they were charged with things like carrying the curtains of the tabernacle when they would move. They were charged with carrying the cords and the hangings and the court of the tabernacle. They were charged with carrying the frames with its pillars and bases. This would have been the equivalent of moving chairs around in the Old Testament situations. They were charged with these things, moving the pillar, moving curtains and other things like this. And these responsibilities would change once the tabernacle was in a more settled place. But these are the kinds of things they did. So you can see that even though they were not properly designated priests, they still had responsibilities associated with the tabernacle, associated with the tent of meeting where God dwelt by His Spirit. These Levite clans still had responsibilities over work closely associated with the place at Shiloh, with the worship of God, practiced centrally at Shiloh. And so again, all of these Levites had no inheritance. They were not given an inheritance, properly speaking, but they needed somewhere to live, and they needed somewhere to place their flocks, their property. Now, these cities from the other tribes and their surrounding pasture lands, these cities mentioned in chapter 21, these are those places. These are the places where the Levites would live, and the pasture lands what they would live off of. Verse 41, the cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel were in all 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had its pasture lands around it. So it was with all these cities. And so this is where the Levites would live. And this is how they would keep their flocks and live off of those flocks in the pasture lands. Now, how are we to think of the Levites living among the Israelites at this time? Now, think again of what the Levites were set apart for. They were set apart for work at the tabernacle, work in the tabernacle. And so for one of these Levite families to be living in a city in your portion of the inheritance, for one of these Levites to be living right next door, meant that your tribe would and should be reminded by them of the central reason why you were in the promised land. You would consider the family of the Levites living in your inheritance and think, tabernacle, worship of God, that is why we're here. That is why we are here. We are here to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are not here simply for the milk and honey that this land produces. The Levites then, living among the people of Israel, they were to be salt and light to the people of God in the promised land. Through their holiness, their way of life, and through their instruction, their words, they would be reminders through their word and through their witness of the mercy of God extended to His people. The Levites living among the tribes of Israel would be reminders to the people of Israel, the mercy of God extended to them in the tabernacle. And what happened in the tabernacle? The substitutionary sacrifices were made in the tabernacle to atone for the sins of God's people. You understand there how the Levites would then function in these cities. They would be reminders of that mercy extended to the people of God there. The priests living in some of these cities and surviving off the substance they had in the surrounding pasture lands would be reminders to them of that. They were the ones who offered these sacrifices. They were the ones who approached God in His temple. And so this is how they are to be thought of in the Promised Land. These cities and their pasture lands here that are mentioned, they were freely given by the people to the Levites so that the Levites could freely give themselves to service in the tabernacle. These cities were given to the Levites freely from the people so that the Levites could freely serve in the tabernacle in the worship of God. Now, one of the duties of the priests were to be living examples of holiness. They themselves were to be holy. They were to live holy lives among the people. But they were also to expound the law of God, the word of God. They were to teach the word of God. The sacrifices, think of this, the sacrifices would not mean anything. The slaughtering of the animals would not mean anything if those sacrifices were not properly interpreted by the word of God to the people. They would not mean anything to the people if God didn't tell them, I am atoning for your sins through these sacrifices. And that is where the priests come in. They teach the people of God what those sacrifices mean. They teach the people of God who God is and what He has done for them. And they teach Him what is required of the people of God. What is required? That is what the priests were for, to lead them to the worship of God, to show them how to live. This is Deuteronomy 33. This is speaking of Levi, the Levites. They, the Levites, shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. You see there the work of the in the tabernacle and the word of God put together. They shall teach and they shall serve in the tabernacle. And so the priests then, they were to guard knowledge. They were to have true and pure instruction on their lips. They were to be messengers of Yahweh among the people of Israel. And the people of Israel then relied on the work of the Levites for their spiritual needs. They relied on the Levites to do just that, to minister the sacrifices and to teach the word of God. And the Levites in turn relied on the free giving of the people of God and the other tribes for their physical needs. You see that there. They lived off the pasture lands that were given from the rest of the body. Now notice how mention is made of the lots being cast to determine which of these cities would be given. This is chapter 20, verse 4 in this chapter. The lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. The entire distribution of the land was determined by casting lots. They casted lots to determine the boundaries of the lands. What this meant was that the Lord, through the casting of the lots, sovereignly appointed the boundaries in the lands. He was sovereign over who got what in this distribution. We see in Proverbs 16, for example, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. It was God who was sovereign over the giving of the land, and He was sovereign over the appointment of these particular cities and their pasture lands to the Levites. So God was sovereign over this, but it included human participation. It included human involvement. The free giving of these cities, it included the free giving of these cities from the other tribes to the Levites. Now, the same principle is at work in giving and receiving in the New Testament with the ministry of the gospel in the New Testament. Now, the ministers of the gospel in the New Testament era, they are not priests. There is only one true high priest, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are all part of a holy priesthood in Christ by faith in Him. We all have access to the Holy of Holies through Christ. But the Lord has set apart men for the ministry of the gospel. He has set apart men to preach the word, to teach the people the word of God, and to show them who God is, what He has done, and what is required from them. And as that gospel is proclaimed, the people of God are built up and lost sinners are converted. And for these ministers of the gospel, their pasture lands, what are they? Well, it comes from a portion of the free giving of the people of God. And so the ministers of the gospel rely on the free giving of the people of God for their physical needs. And in turn, the gospel is proclaimed, The lost are converted, the people are built up, and therefore the people rely on the ministers of the gospel for their spiritual needs. They rely on the ministers of the gospel to teach the law, to minister the things of God, the spiritual things that God has given to the church. Now, this is what the Levites were to do in Joshua's day, but they were not excluded from this free giving as well. They were commanded and expected to give what was called a tithe of a tithe. So the Levites were themselves expected to give, but they lived off the free giving of the people in order to do the work of the Lord in the tabernacle. The priests themselves were to give a tithe of a tithe, but they lived off these cities. Now, not only this, but those who are in need in the midst of God's people, their physical needs are met also from the free giving of the people of God. And so those who are the neediest among the people of God, their needs are met from a portion of the free giving of the people of God. And this all happens so that every single one of us can glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is why all of this takes place, that we might direct our hearts to the worship of God. And so the cities and the surrounding pasture lands freely given to the Levites teaches us something about the way in which every believer is to freely contribute to the worship of God and to the needs of the people. But these cities and their pasture lands also teach us that as we do this, the Lord provides. He provides what we need. He gives us everything that we need. The pasture lands surrounding these cities, you've heard the cadence as I read through chapter 21. These pasture lands are mentioned over 50 times in this chapter. The cities and their pasture lands, pasture lands, pasture lands. See this in verse 13. Libna with its pasture lands. Jatir with its pasture lands. Eshtemoa with its pasture lands. Over and over. The Levites lived off the flocks and substance that came from these pasture lands. In other words, they were a source of the physical life for the Levites. They needed these pasture lands in order to live. And in this way, we see then that the Lord provides. He provides for His people. He feeds us and He gives us everything we need, both spiritually and physically. He gives us everything that we need. Now, this doesn't free us. It doesn't free us, and it didn't free the Levites and the other Israelites from working hard. It doesn't free us from not giving generously. It doesn't free us from not being responsible with what the Lord gives us. But it does show us that He provides. He gives us everything that we need. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything, both spiritual and physical. The giving of the cities and the pasture lands to the Levites then would direct the hearts and the minds of the people to the glory of God's presence in the tabernacle. Now, this is also in this book. We also see in this book that the writer reminds us that not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Now, in thinking of this, long before these pasture lands were given, remember, God appeared to Abraham and He told him, "I will give your descendants a land, and there I will be your God, and you will be my people." And so the Lord said to a man, as part of a people, He said this to a man, long before this land was given, He said this to a man as part of a people who were in need of salvation. They needed the forgiveness of sins. They needed God to show them mercy. And He said this to Abraham. He said to Abraham, "I will give my people a land." And here in Joshua, we see that God did just this. That is what we've been concerned with for the last several chapters, that God did exactly what He said He would do when He spoke to Abraham. "I will give you a land." Not one word failed. All came to pass. "I will give you a land," and He did just that. The pasture lands teach us that the Lord provides. He is faithful to His word. The giving of these cities and their pasture lands, friends, they pointed the people to the tabernacle, as we said. Our giving in the New Testament era points us where? To the true tabernacle, to Jesus Christ who is in heaven. That is where our giving points us to. It points us to the worship of Christ who is in heaven. It is the death of Christ and his resurrection on the third day that we truly see that all the promises of God find their yes and amen. The death of Christ shows us that not one word of the promises have failed. All have come to pass. When you think of the cross, you should remember that all the promises of God have come to pass. Not one word has failed. In the Father, through the Son, provides for all of our needs, physical and spiritual. He gives us everything we need through His eternal Son who died for us. Well, friends, Christ is the one who, though He was infinitely rich, became poor. He gave Himself. He became poor so that we might be rich. The Levites' physical needs were for physical pasture lands. It points us to a deeper spiritual need that every single one of us has, and that is the need for the forgiveness of sins. We need our sins to be forgiven. We need our sins to be atoned for. Jesus Christ fulfills that need. He satisfies that need. And that is what everything that we do points us to. Everything that we take part in, the giving and the receiving, all of our work points us to the mercy of God extended to us in Jesus Christ. Or put it another way, Jesus Christ's shed blood is our eternal pasture lands. To Him be all praise and glory, now and forevermore.